What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Whiskey, Web, and Whatnot with your hosts, Robbie the Wagner and Charles William Carpenter III.
Well, no looks guess. No guess whatsoever. You're stuck with us. So feel free to turn it off right now if you're disappointed by that. If you're on the video, you probably think I look like Grandpa Chuck because the bags under my eyes, you look 400 years old. I haven't slept much lately. These things happen.
Yeah, the 4K does not do me favors.
Yeah, it's sort of like upgrade, upgrade, upgrade. Shouldn't have done that.
Well, I want that many pixels. I just want it to like smooth everything out for me. So it's like everything looks better than it does in real life.
Yeah, I want the Oprah filter, like nice cameras with the Oprah filter. That's our next upgrade. I do get a lot of questions about equipment and stuff like that. And so we can talk a little about our setup today, maybe. I think that might be of interest for folks.
Sure.
Cool.
Yeah. Part of our setup for today is this Booker's whiskey, which I'm going to attempt to show without breaking it all. It is in a fancy box.
Oh, shit, you're doing it from the box. Yeah, I did at least take it out of the box. I didn't try. It took me...
I had to, you know, the presentation. I want to show everyone.
Yeah, it's a nice one on the shelf. I mean, they've been doing that since day one, and I used to love me a good Booker's because it was $50. Came in some nice box presentation-wise. So you could bring it places. It was like...
That's a good gift.
Oh, man, it was the best deal on the market for a... Yeah, for a barrel-proof whiskey. So, yeah, let's talk a little about this one. Wax top, still everything, too. Like, good to go. So, today we're having Booker's Small Batch Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Bourbon Whiskey. I feel like we should say it like that. This is the Storyteller Batch. So, it is a 2023 release. They do them more in releases now because everything's popular and whiskey is cool. So this was release 4 of 2023, 127.8 proof, aged 7 years, 2 months, and exactly 29 days. I did contact...
30 days, way too much.
Yeah, I did contact the Beam Distillery to find out exactly how many minutes and seconds, but they hadn't gotten back to me yet before we recorded today. Mm. Mash bill is 77% corn, 13% rye, and 10% malted barley. This is called the Storyteller Batch because it's named after the way my dad, Booker No, could just turn about anything he talked about into an interesting story. And that's a quote from Fred No, the current master distiller.
I was getting some Jimmy Dean vibes there.
Oh, Jimmy Dean sausage is
the best
sausage.
Gotta have some breakfast.
So I did have biscuits and gravy with my mom this morning for breakfast. Yeah, I met her for breakfast and... She liked that country cooking, so I turned her to a place and do homemade biscuits and gravy, and gosh darn it, I have some of that.
Yeah, you can't beat it.
Yeah. I'm glad that I got this open without ill effect, so that's a good thing. It's got a nice smell. That was like a slow pour. It's almost like, I swear, folks, on audio only, I didn't step away to the restroom.
I'm smelling some lavender.
We did get floral. Lavender's very specific.
Yeah, I think lavender. Okay. My brain wanted to say lilacs, but I don't even know what lilacs smell like, so I'm thinking that's wrong.
That's true. My wife tells me the names of the flowers we have in our house. So,
yeah. Maybe some violet, actually. I do know violet because it is good in lattes.
Violet, you're turning violet. Okay.
Oh, I'm realizing that my nose is congested as well.
Yeah, I have a little of that. I'm getting like a floral and a little cola like in mine. So.
Yeah. Like a bath bomb in an RC cola.
Oof. Got a little heat there though. I need to warm up the mouth around that one. Oh, yeah. Feeling that burn all the way down. I'm glad I took my heartburn meds this morning.
That's got some burn. It's got a very intense, like, fruity, orangey, like a concentrated orange. Like, not like a, you know, a mimosa where it's, like, light light flavor, or like even orange juice by itself, I feel like is not as like, this is potent, like a candy or something.
Yes. Okay. So this is where I was going to kind of go with it. More like an orange crushed soda. So then the,
yes, I'm like not fake, like very, fake very stronger than it could ever be in real life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of that, like if you were to drink a little, like take some orange crush concentrate before they mixed it with the carbonated, this is kind of that flavor that I think I'm getting. A little of that and then some of the floral on the finish. I'm getting like a little bitter, a little floral on the finish. Slight kind of woodiness.
But what was the proof on this? It's very
127.8. Yeah, that's very hot. Okay. So although with the high corn, that kind of doesn't surprise me with the kind of sweetie flavors that we're pulling out of that. So, yeah. Definitely that with the floral in the finish. So not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's much different than I thought it would be in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. Softens once your palate is wet and ready for it a little more.
Mm.
Still hurts still hurts the throat. But in the mouth, it's a little easier. I don't have salivatory glands in my throat as it goes down.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was disconnecting with my 12-year-old self there for a minute.
Oh, man. Jeezle. Kids, stop listening. This isn't for you. This show. Mr. Wagner has taken it up a notch in classiness. This is why we don't get invited anywhere. They're like, oh my God, I listened to the one.
Hey, we have a lot of fairly clean ones. We have a few that maybe straddle the line, but...
Fucking lying. Oh my gosh. Anyway. Cool. Well, I'm going to rate it as is. Today, I finally have my trusty, handy-dandy, not notebook, dropper. And I am going to do a couple of drops and come back around. Yeah, exactly. You know what I was getting at there. I only watch the Steve episodes. I refuse. If Steve is gone, I'm not in. What was it, like his cousin or something later?
Yeah. Oh, I have no idea.
Hmm. Well, there's like the OG Blue's Clues. And then, like, later, like, Steve was out and they, like, subbed in, like, his cousin or something, this other guy. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, there's, like, a couple. We watched, like, maybe 10 minutes of one at a friend's house. And, yeah, there's, like, two or three real people and there's, like, several dogs. Like, it's just, I don't understand what's going on anymore.
It's carnage. Well, see, they recently did that with Blippi. Maybe you're not aware of Blippi yet, but Blippi will be on your radar. Which is like this grown man. It's almost like PG, more like G-rated Pee Wee Herman in a way. Like grown man acting like a kid, but he's not making like crass and weird jokes. And like he is actually teaching kids stuff. He's just kind of annoying. Very popular with my kids for a little bit. And then like they've watched some more recently and they have there's two Blippies apparently now. And then they also do some animated stuff just to kind of mix it up. Yeah. So, yeah, that's all about that. Let's talk about the whiskey. Let's see what you think of the whiskey. Yes. As I should announce every single time, the highly, highly stringent tentacle scale, except for we offer 9 options, 0 to 8. 0 being horrible, 8 being amazing, 4 being fine, categorized as bourbon. Maybe we should even say bourbon barrel strength. We could really start digging into it here. But yeah. Up to you.
Well, I'm starting to forget a lot of them that we've tried. So I'm
turns out that goes hand in hand with the more you drink, the more you forget. Now you know why I started this.
But I like it. I don't think it's worth the price point that it is now. Like, I feel like we've had cheaper stuff that I like almost as much. However, it does have flavor notes that I haven't tasted in any other bourbon thus far. So I think with the interestingness in mind, I would probably lean a little higher, but with the price point, I'm going to go back lower. So I'm going to even it out at a 5.5, I think.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I have similar thoughts to you, like what we paid to get this one. Like if you see it on the shelf and retail is $100. So if you're at like a Total Wine or whatever, your ABC store, and you see a Booker's for $100, I would say go for it. I say that they have a consistency and a quality that is good and tasty on a regular basis. This, again, now they're in these releases and some other things. So I think it was like $150. That starts to be like, I don't know, you're reaching, you're trying to punch above your weight, but it does taste good.
Yeah.
My funny inclination is to just do a 5.1. I'm going to like Price is Right your ass and just like bid $1 higher.
5.49.
Yeah. 5.0001. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's maybe a 5.5 for me, give or take. I think it's like, it's good. I'd come back to it. I would recommend it to people. I don't think it's amazing and you clear the shelves. Like I said, if you see it for $100 and you get one, I don't think you'll be disappointed. If it starts to like creep up and you're paying like elevated and or secondary prices, that's the whole thing in the first place why I started buying less of it is prices were creeping up. They changed MSRP from 50 to 100 right from the distillery. And I don't blame them for that, but it did have me like, well, for $100, I'm going to look at other stuff. And then that's just all continued to climb.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's very similar to the NFT market, honestly. I'm waiting for the bottom to drop out and every whiskey to just be like, oh my God, please buy any of this. We made too much.
Like, yeah. And that's the cycle that happened before, essentially. Like, whiskey was America's number one spirit in the 60s and 70s. And then, like, vodka became the shit and, you know, martinis and cocktails in that sense. And then the bottom dropped out when they had too much and it got cheap. And then Pappy Van Winkle happened. So, great Pappy event. So, I'm not sure. I don't know who I hate more for this purpose. I love Anthony Bourdain, but he helped make Pappy and whiskey cool. And then like finance bros came in and just started buying out everything that was good. And so supply and demand, right? So I hate them all for that purpose, but Bourdain is cool otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, anything that has any amount of FOMO is just going to skyrocket in price. Like, I wish there was something I had enough of that I could generate FOMO for so that I could become very wealthy, but I don't have large enough quantities of anything.
Anyway. Alrighty. So technology. I love technology. For those on, let's see here too. So for those on the web, speaking of like, or, you know, watching this video, I should show off a little bit of swag.
I was not expecting that. Under the tie-dye shirt.
Yeah, I really just elevated it. You know, I forgot all about that. I actually put that on for recording today. And then, alas, here we are.
So anyway, you got one before they sold out this time?
Exactly. Saw that. I got like an email or something. And I was like, yes, I need that. First round, all they had was like XLs. I was very
excited. Yeah, I remember. I got the email, I don't know, it was within like the last week, and they were like, we have 200 like new ones. And then within like an hour, they were like, we have 39 left or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh.
People got on it. It was hot. So anyway, if you're not on video, it is Syntax's Century Syntax, their swag store refilled on the Webmaster t-shirt that looks like an old rock shirt or something like that. And it's got all these cool OG references that most people don't get. And I snatched it up. I was like all over it. I need that.
Yeah.
It's very important.
Go to century.shop. It's sold out, but you can buy other stuff.
Yeah. And you can look at things there. And I have pimped out the Syntax Yeti cup, because it is less than retail of a normal Yeti cup. So they're taking a loss on it, or they get a good deal. Who cares? You're spending less money. You can get some cool shit. I think you should get that. So
yeah,
there is that.
You know what else you can spend money on? We have swag, but we don't ever talk about it on the show. So.
Right. Whiskey.fund. The purposes should be obvious. And we do have a few things up on there, more to come. So check it out. www.whiskey.fund. And this is a sweatshirt, a couple t-shirts, beanie coming, maybe some other stuff. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, we got samples of the beanies. I haven't gotten mine yet. I think it's supposed to be here maybe tomorrow. So if
it'll come in time for it to be too warm for me.
Yeah. Well, it just snowed a ton here, so I think it's going to maybe be cold here for a while. We'll see.
I'll come out and see you in order to wear the beanie. Yeah, that's a good point, though. So anyway, take it back to the web. Let's talk about things on the web.
Yeah, so I want to mention, I'm going to go a little out of order here. This has been going around on Twitter. See, when I say things about, like, React sucks or whatever,
people expect
everyone's just like,
you.
Oh, boo, I like React and blah, blah, blah. But like important people say, hey, React is maybe going down the wrong path. And everyone's like, oh my God, you're so right. I'm so glad someone has said this. And I'm like, I've been saying it for years, bro. Like, what's going on?
I got to anyway, like, partially say that I didn't fully agree with you until recently. Is that, I mean,
because it's cool to agree with me now?
It's actually cool to agree with other people, and that's why.
That's true.
I'm actually on that side. Well, no, it's just that I think that some of the complaints that you had, while valid for particular use cases, were more on the side of opinion of things that you don't prefer, right? But it didn't mean it make it less effective, per se. And some of the things that come now, like, I just don't understand why, like, every other release of Next requires an entire rethink of your paradigm, like, of your, like, paradigms of building with that particular framework. Like,
I know why.
Oh, I used to do it this way. Yeah, right. Because there's financial incentives. I mean, it has to be, like, okay.
No, it is some of that. You know, some of it is to undermine anyone trying to copy what they're doing by changing, moving the ball, like moving the goal line, I guess, whatever the fuck the analogy is. But also, people that like React and like over-engineering the shit out of stuff want it to change. They want it to be like, oh, I want to go a year and I want to have wasted an entire year building a thing that we haven't shipped any code to production. And then I want to rewrite it for another year. Because I want it to be the best bleeding edge, most complicated engineered thing I can. And like, I think they've realized that. And they have a lot of the people, what I was reading in some of the people that are upset about all the React stuff is like, they have a lot of the people that used to work on React working for them. And they use like unpublished canary Reacts and like do a bunch of crazy shit. And
yeah,
like, all of that is so that they can feel the same way of, oh, I engineered this so hard and I love it. And like, let's make that 0.1 milliseconds faster. Everyone will love writing 16 more hooks so that we can do this tiny bit faster. Like, no.
I wonder if we could get any employees or anyone behind the scenes to like come on anonymously and admit that, you know, like we'll figure out some security things around it.
I don't know that it's conscious. I think leadership,
that, like,
it may
smart
be.
People are being enabled to really just go fucking crazy.
Yeah.
On things,
if you hire 10 really smart people who love over engineering, guess what you're going to get? Like,
yeah. And if from a product perspective, you're just like, go at it, go nuts. I don't know. Yeah. Because, like, what was it? The React hasn't officially released anything since like 2022 or something, like React 18
June.
Was 2022 or something like that. Yeah. So, you know, year and a half, no releases, but new features coming because Triangle Company unlocked some canary features that aren't actually stable and official. I don't know. All I can say is that, and I have sung the praises of Next in the past. So let's just say there, like, I'm not a Robbie. I'm not a hater coming out hating.
Nope.
But let me
clarify. Hold that thought. Like Next and I like Vercel and I like most of everything they're doing. That's how I feel about people choosing any React framework pretty much. But
we do
continue.
Pay Vercel money. So, you know, there is something to be said for that. Like, aspects you don't like, you still are, I mean, you still tried the product, embraced it, gave them money, moved your shit there, right? Like, so something to be said for that. There's definitely still a lot of positives, like, you know, caveat to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the things I liked about Next were, like, everything isn't a component and some things just, like, happen by how you organize it and, like, are auto magic. And you can make decisions by routes about static and incremental static and server rendered things as you need and client light. Like, I felt like I had a lot of power and options. And I feel like where it's gone now, like, there's a reduction in that power and options to a degree. Like, yes, I guess you can restructure things and do some of it the same, but like this whole use client thing, and you can have a server rendered outer component and then inner functions and components that are use client, and like,
yeah,
you get in this strange mental model where, like, oh my gosh. And let's not even go into the whole everything is called page and layout as they're nested in the app directories. So, like, didn't we go through this argument where, like, oh, named files are better, that's why you shouldn't have the root of everything be,
so you don't have,
because it's a
10 files named the, like, same thing. Yeah,
right. Like, oh, page is you have an error on page, which fucking page? Yeah. I don't know, like,
page.js, yeah. Check it out.
Yeah, so yeah. Those, well, things, yeah,
I think some of it, like, it unlocks more if you're willing to do 100 times more work. Like, they've added more hooks, more things you can call, more shit that does shit. Cool, whatever.
More shit.
Who needs any of that? You want it to be like, at the end of the day, we're writing HTML and we want certain little parts of it to update sometimes. That's what we're doing. Like, we don't need to be this granular. We don't need to do database queries right from our JavaScript. Like,
no.
We just need it to be as simple as possible to track what's updating and update the DOM. That's the root that everyone, I think, would agree wants to solve. So why do we need all these extra hooks and, like, other things to do all of that? Like, that's the problem, is, like, they think we want all of these teeny tiny building blocks, and it's becoming even less of a meta framework and just becoming React Extended, which isn't a framework, and, like,
right,
requires you to still build your own meta framework on top, which a lot of places love doing and will spend 2 years doing and then throw it all out and then spend 2 more years doing it again. And, like, if you're writing your own framework, stop right now. It is a waste of time. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, that's, I don't know where I was going, but you know my feelings.
End rant. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It's not a great experience, especially if you're trying to build quickly. So I spent a couple of weeks, I've spent a few weeks trying to build quickly on a couple of different things, and everything kind of being bleeding edge and not being very, and maybe it's a skill issue. So whatever, you can say that, fuck off.
Skill issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe someone smarter than me out at the absolute bleeding edge things. I don't think that even someone, like, let's say someone's been developing for 10 years in another framework, Angular, whatever, and they go where they go and they, like, come over to this, they're not bad because they don't understand this paradigm out of the box, right? Like, they just, and they're not productive out of the box. So anybody who's, like, jumped on server components that literally looked at it last week and not like, oh, I've been following, I'm a React proponent and I follow all their RFPs, I doubt they do that, but and I understand this burgeoning feature, so when it was ready, I was ready, and all of that thing. Like, let's just say that's not the case that I'm discussing, because I don't think that's normal.
And I don't think, if you've hardly been, anyone does that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Even if you've been building Next apps for years, as I have, and gone through quite a few iterations of it, coming to this kind of shatters what made you productive originally. That's what I say. I say, like, what made it nice and easy for me, you know, 2-3 versions ago is almost gone. Like there was some nice value adds, and I think 12 or 13 even, like, you know, the way they manage middleware. I love API routes. I just like all of those things were like super nice. Like you talk about, like,
yeah,
I want to talk to a database and do queries and whatever else. Great. API routes were a nice place for that. And you drop an ORM in there, and
API routes were a good idea.
Yeah. Separation of concerns. I love a separation of concerns. Let's do that. The stuff that's happening now is like just the Wild West. I don't know why I need that. And I feel like, so I was so unhappy working with that over a couple of weeks. I've been using, I also was trying to like write an API using some Bleeding Edge framework and Bun and some other things there. And there's a lot of things I did like about it, but the downsides were like that it just all wasn't ready yet. You know, it just felt not ready. So like, so doing all of those things, I'm coming to a point here. Anyway.
Okay.
And then like shifting to some back to some things that, oh, these are all things I understand and know. So I started working in Redwood.js, full stack web framework. So I just like spent a weekend like messing with that and messing again with Django and just being like, web framework, so many batteries included. Love this. They were both just so fun to go through the tutorials. And so I just completely pivoted. It was like, oh, this is more fun and it all makes sense and it is all battle tested stuff. Okay, fuck it. That's what I should be doing.
Well, I think that's the problem, is a lot of people want it to be magic and like battle tested and stable, and they want to be able to like just write features. But a lot of other people really just want to over engineer stuff. And like, that crowd seems to be getting bigger and bigger, or at least louder and louder. So like React and Next.js are trying to cater to that crowd. And they just like, you know, put out all of the lowest level stuff. And it's like, well, all of coding, you know, I guess back, you know, we started with assembly or whatever, and then like a little bit of C on top of that. And like, that's kind of low level. And that's kind of what we've gone back to, is like no batteries included. Do it all yourself, figure it all out. And I think that's like at our detriment. Like, it's just like, you know, if you had, what's a good analogy? Like a food processor. And then everybody was like, well, you know what's really cool? Using a knife. Like that's, it takes way more time. And, but like, I can be so precise with it. I got to use a knife. Like, but a food processor is fast and consistent and easy, and you press one button and it's done. And that's how your code should be. Like, it, we should use these building blocks and stand on the shoulders of the people that came before us to make better shit, instead of being like, well, I think I'm a better engineer than like DHH or somebody. And like, well, I can do it way better than they could ever do. And like, no, you fucking can't. Like, be real with yourself. There's like, you know, maybe 100 people in the entire world that can go, yeah, I'm going to build my own framework and optimize a shit out of it, and it's going to actually be better than a framework that a bunch of people who wrote frameworks made. So yes, Redwood is a great choice. I think it's very undervalued. I think it has a lot of the same ideals that Ember has, and like getting people on those ideals is important, whether they use Ember or Redwood or anything. Rails is pretty opinionated. Like anything with that's like believes in generators and like, you know, conventions, and like, it just, you do things a certain way instead of do it how you want and solve all your own stuff. Like,
you know what I love about generators? That's a whole nice thing. So yeah, I mean, so for the folks at home, or for the folk person,
the folk
listening currently, yeah. So Ember is a front-end framework, but also very opinionated, amazing like state management layer and all kinds of things there too. Adapters, I was reminded of adapters recently. I was like, adapters were so nice. That's true. Things like that are like really helpful. But Redwood is full stack, so it spins up a node server for you. It is GraphQL out of the box. Prisma ORM, you know, love it or hate it, or having an ORM is a nice thing. You can spin up some auth right out of the box, and you can just do your local auth there and whatever else. Generators are so nice because they also spin up your test case, your basic test and test case there for you. So like, don't forget tests. Tests are included. They're a first class citizen. Love that stuff. Included in both. Super important things.
How does routing work? Does it, is it like a file based, or is it there like a big file where you define everything?
It's more like Ember routing, actually. So there's a routes file and you drop in your, it's really easy to auth protect your routes though. So like, nice things there. Yeah, the ergonomics of Redwood are really good. I think that, you know, sometimes it's marketing and positioning has some things to do with it, and it's not doing all the bleeding edge things. I think you'd respect that they get requests for some of these bleeding edge things, and they just deeply consider it and RFPs and all of that kind of thing. So the process is there. And so it's a kind of like, never say never that you'll get some of these other bits, but, you know, it's going to take some vetting from, like, Bun comes out with their version 1.0 and somebody's like, should we support Bun or something else? And they're like, well, maybe. Let's look at that. Let's take some time here. What are the implications of it? Let's make sure that it has, you know, check these five checkboxes done, and then go through a process before we, like, jump ship immediately. So they use Yarn, workspace management there.
Not yeah, PNPM.
It's no, they don't even do that yet. And again, that's another thing that was like, consider this, make sure that there's some feature parity before we actually, and there's true benefits and not just preferences.
Yeah. But I like the blessed path like that, because, you know, if you used PNPM day one when it came out and it didn't work and you're like, hey, it doesn't work, they'd be like, well, you're supposed to use Yarn. That's what we say. Like,
yeah,
you know,
that is what they say.
It's not like, you know, things that are unopinionated and try to give you tiny building blocks have to be compatible with everything. And like,
yeah,
that's a nightmare.
And ultimately, so I think it's twofold. I think there's one, I think about, you know, Dax trolling people around like, listen, man, you have zero users. Who fucking cares which of these things you pick? Honestly, like, you can fight your fight.
Just build.
Until you have users, that is like a proven use case and reason why you need this laundry list of things. Like, that's one aspect of it. So I have no users. What's the point? And then what I need to do is build a thing as quickly as possible and feel like that it will stand up on its own. You know, Node is known. Great. I'm going to deploy a Node app. We know how to do that. There's an AWS story around that. I can use sst.dev to do it. And like, I tried to use SST to deploy a Bun service. I tried to like wedge it into a Lambda, tried to wedge it into a service. And guess what? You know, bleeding edge stuff doesn't work across the board. It has a very specific tested use case. And if you're not matching that, which is like in the docs, a to-do app or whatever else it is, well, that's not reality for most of us. So we're dependent on trying to build a real thing. We should use things that have already shown they can build the real thing. It's even better than the real thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to how, you know, any JavaScript developer or modern web developer, I guess, would say like, oh, I can't use Java. Java's not cool. It's old. Well, it's very reliable and everything runs on Java. Like, you know, nobody thinks about stability or like actually shipping software. They think about, how can I be the coolest engineer right now? And like, that's fun, especially for a side project. Definitely use the most bleeding edge thing you can for your side project to learn it and experience it. But like, if you have a team of more than a couple and you want to have some standards and like ship stuff regularly, you should probably use something that's been shipping battle tested production code for like a decade. Like, why not?
Yeah. That's the thing, is that I don't believe that people are wrong when they're okay, Java sucks because ABC. Like, ABC is probably true in particular circumstances. But are you in those circumstances? Does that apply to you? Can we all build it? I mean, you know, to a degree, can we use WordPress and build some of the things we build? Absolutely, we could. There's no doubt about it, right? Like, the whiskey.fm can be built in WordPress if we so choose, right? We use Next.js, actually. Not 14, because fuck that.
No, I think we're on the latest, because you can still use either you don't have to use AppRouter until the next one. Then they're going to force you.
Right. So, which we will not do.
No. It's going to be Astro then.
Yeah. Definitely should be Astro. Speaking of Astro, there's like the, there's some interesting stacks that have come out around Astro. So there's Astro, obviously, has been around now for a little bit, not like forever. It's still kind of new, but does all kinds of cool things. The thing is it came out as more of like, it's another Gatsby or Jekyll, but turns out it's a web framework that can do way more shit than it has led on to. And that Islands is actually super flexible, plugins giving you a whole bunch. So, you know, more on that to come, I guess. But I saw this thing the other day. It was like the AHA. There's a couple of different ones. There's like the AHA stack, which was like Astro, HTMX, and something else, which was this whole like...
I'm out. No HTMX.
No fake. HTMX.
Fake news.
Yeah, we really should have Carson on, actually. I think that would be a fun one.
The creator?
Yeah, that's the dude. That's the dude in Montana who...
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know anything about him. I'd be making
it. I'm always, you know, happy to discuss it and talk to them, but I don't know if it's just that they've leaned into the meme so hard or just that I also think that it's just all totally wrong. Like the couple of minutes I've looked at how it works, I'm like, no, I don't want that.
But I'm putting two drops of water in my Booker's. I'm going to see how that changes things. Okay, right. Because I know that you're a purist in the sense of like inherently you want JSON from your APIs, right? You want a JSON response that gets parsed.
I also want my JavaScript. In my JavaScript, it's fine to write JavaScript functions and like have an on click or whatever. Mm-hmm. You don't like HTMX is more like it's like a tailwind for API calls and complex shit in your HTML.
Your directives on HTML. It does use JavaScript, but yeah, those click into, right. So you use those directives to do a thing. So your event listeners are sort of offloaded and you'll love that.
Yeah. And it's sort of similar to like how Vue 2 did it, I think, where like they kind of had directive-y thingies. I don't know how to describe them, but like, it just feels weird. Like, and I guess
it does
Ember,
feel ugly. I will technically admit that. It does feel ugly.
Like the way Ember does it is also not vanilla. Like to be fair, but I like that the modifiers are like on click function. It just feels like. On click.
HTML or HX, I think they are. I forget what they are. They're like HX dash something or something like that.
Yeah. It's really just sugar. I think it would even work, especially in modern Ember where like you have one file with like your JavaScript and HTML and stuff, which I don't love either, but it does solve some problems. And like, I think then you could just refer to the function. You don't have to do this like on modifier thing and like, hook into this context and all of that stuff. It's just like the function was right here, so I call it down here. Like,
yeah. The blending of all these things now, as like an OG proponent of a separation of concerns, like I really hated having my JavaScript bled into my HTML, my CSS bled into my HTML. Right, like there's all those kinds of things that have kind of started to creep back in. But I find myself more curious. I guess it's just curious.
I'm becoming like, open to it, but that used to be the first thing I would Google every time I tried a new framework. How do I split this into three files for the styles, the JavaScript, and the and you could usually do it, but it was like not the blessed path, so like it would usually break later. But yeah, it's
drops of water, it mellows quite a bit. Just want to say that. I put a couple of drops in my Booker's, except in your throat. In the chest.
I will. I'll have to try that later on.
Yeah. If only you were home where you had access to modern conveniences.
Well, I'm not going to stop right now and go get. I have a spray bottle, but that we spray the dogs with. I could go. But
yes,
that's old water. No, it's old, very old water.
That's better, actually. So this is like distilled water. So I just use like the reverse osmosis water, but I used to like, so you do your own distilled water, but just like fill up a gallon, let it sit for a week, and then you can use that because sediment has settled and whatever else. So it's like really base. Now I just reverse osmosis, fill this thing. I'm sure there are whiskey purists. Like
basically the same.
Yeah, that's how I take it. And I'm sure purists will feel differently, but I was born in Kentucky, so I can do what I want. I actually made the rules. Fuck you. That's what I say to some people. The more I drink, the more I curse. So,
I think
we've exhausted. I think we've exhausted that topic. Exactly. I agree with you. What is snow? Can we talk about what snow is? I've heard of this.
It hasn't snowed here. You get the occasional dusting, but like we haven't gotten a real snow in years. So like we bought this house and the guy was trying to sell us the snowblower with the house. And I was like, fuck that. I don't need a snowblower. When will it ever snow again?
Leave it there if you want, fucker.
Yeah. I think he sold it to someone on like Facebook Marketplace for like $50. Or like I should have probably just bought it because it was cheap.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it snowed and like even the weather people were like, oh yeah, it's going to snow for like 2 hours. We're going to maybe get like an inch or something. And then it's proceeded to snow from like, we're like, we woke up in the morning, no snow was called for, and there was already like half an inch on the ground. We're like, oh, that's weird. Like they said it was supposed to snow for like 2 hours later. And then it snowed that entire day for like, it wasn't a ton of accumulation, but it was constant. And it was just like, so we got probably like 5-ish inches by the time it was done. And
so average, give or take?
Yeah.
I mean, according to your wife, I think, right?
Yeah. Yes, she is a weather expert, so she would know.
Definitely what I meant.
Yeah. Just try to circle it back around there for you.
You.
But yeah, so I didn't have a snowblower. We were shoveling it all by hand. It was not fun, but Finn had a good time. So he sledded for the first time and loved it. And so we did a lot of that. We made a tiny snowman. It was like too powdery to make a snowman. So I waited until the next day when there was like a little bit of melted underneath and like kind of pushed it all to make it icy. It's like this melted blob. It is not great looking, but we do have one. So that's been fun.
Yeah, some pluses there. Yeah, we actually once a year go up north. Like sometimes we've spent a weekend. Sometimes we just drive up like in the morning, spend, you know, a few hours and then drive back down and come back to the sun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of I guess that's one benefit of Arizona is getting to live in the desert and have a little bit of snow just a few hours away.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought we were going to have to travel for snow because like it never snows here anymore. But yeah, hopefully there will be more of this to come. It is supposed to snow again in a couple days. So we'll see if that happens. It's like the same of where it says like 2 hours of like an inch or two. And so it'll probably snow all day again. We'll see.
Luckily, you've got a good commute, so. Well, actually, you do have a real commute.
I do have a real commute.
What happens when you have a real commute? And I know the city kind of shuts down. A couple inches of snow shuts down because.
Well, I'm not attempting to commute. So the way Amazon does RTO is it's a very dumb system. Like, if you have a holiday or PTO or any approved reason to not be there, it doesn't count as you were there. It just, they're like, we have 3 weeks, like out of the last 8 weeks, you have to have been there five of the last eight. So it's like, that allows for holidays and PTO and stuff, theoretically. But the system really breaks down if you take a lot of PTO in a row, or you took some PTO and then there's a bunch of snow or other reasons you can't go in. And like, yeah, they should have a way to like track what it actually is. But anyway, because you have to be there 3 days out of the week for that week to count, and one of our days in the office was a holiday, I already wasn't going to get this week counted. So then with the snow on Tuesday, I'm like, I'm definitely not going to go in now with like one day of like,
so just hell with all of it.
Yeah. So that's, so no, I haven't gone in, but yeah, I have my dad's old BMW and it will not like the snow. So
is it rear wheel drive, I guess,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's not going to be good on snow. All-wheel drives. Where's that, buddy? All-wheel drive.
Yeah. I wish that... Now I wish that we had kept our Rivian pre-order. Because, like, I see a lot of people driving the SUVs around, and I'm like, that looks like a legit SUV size. And while it might not have been my favorite SUV, it would have been electric. So.
And the third row is actually pretty roomy. Like, yeah, would have been a good call for you. Wasn't a great fit for me, but definitely would have worked for you. Rivians.
Yeah. Well, I'm on the waiting list for the first electric Range Rover. So stay tuned.
Do those have third rows or no?
Seen what the possible configurations will be, because like they have the long wheelbase where you get more space in each row, and they have like are they going to have all the same options like that, or is it going to be kind of like, this is our first electric car, this is, you get what you get? So
it's probably the latter, but who knows.
I think so too, but hopefully they'll pick the right options to where it's roomy enough that like it makes sense for us. We'll see.
Are you open to a Volvo? Because that Volvo
I am.
90 version that's hybrid is actually pretty sweet.
Is that the bigger one?
It's the bigger. It's a hybrid. It's got like a third row. I think it has like 35-mile range on just straight electric. So most of the time it's an electric car for you. Like, it's not bad. And then in a pinch, kick it over, you're good to go.
Yeah, I would consider that. I've been looking at a ton of different options because I've been hating driving my dad's car. So I looked at like, what's the cheapest electric car you can get? And if anyone's looking, you can get a Kia something for like 12 grand, and its range is like 90 miles. So it will work for commuting, but you got to make sure you charge it every day because like you're going to get stuck. And I don't love that. I want it to be like a little more range to where I can like think about, you know, missing a day of charging, charge it every couple of days or whatever. So
options. I'm just saying, like, Hyundai, Kia, like they all kind of have a thing. So like, it depends on what you want. Yeah.
I think the thing that ironically, the thing that like has the best range for the cheapest price is an older BMW electric. They've been doing something with them to like upgrade their batteries or something.
Okay.
So they get
I3s or something. Those roller skate looking things. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't love the look, but like if it drives okay and it has good range, like I don't make enough money anymore to like have a nice car that can be a status symbol.
It should reflect your current standards as a middle class white
fellow. Bike to work.
Yeah. No, you don't. You don't do that. You definitely don't. No one can see you below shoulders, but if you stood up, they'd know that you don't like to work. And, you know, what you're, you know, cheaply willing to settle for is a BMW.
They're like 20 grand or something. Like,
yeah, well, you know.
I guess that's not the cheapest car you could get. You're right.
You're really just not connected to the people, okay? But maybe our audience. Okay, let's take it back. It's not that serious. An i3 is ugly. Looks like a roller skate. But everyone that I know that has had or has one loves that car. Like they enjoy the experience.
When I went to California, and I liked it fine.
Yeah, good for you. You were never cool, so why even try? No,
I don't know. I thought I was cool for a couple minutes, so I did try, but.
you went on a vacation and rented an i3. I think we've settled that.
Well, this was like before, or no? Okay, context. You could, I guess, Tesla existed still because Tesla's been around a long time, but they haven't been as pervasive.
2007, they had the Roadster, is like 2007, 2008.
Right, but they were all like very expensive cars for a while, and so during that time, still, I think like. It was probably 2016. No, I guess 2017 or 18.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, there wasn't a Model 3 yet, I don't think. And like, whatever. So I wanted to rent an electric car because I was going out to work at Netflix's offices and they have free electric car charging in the parking lot. So I was like, why would I not do that? The funny thing was, I like, I don't know if all i3s are like this, but like this one had like a tiny reserve gas tank too. And it would hold like 3 gallons.
Still, like if you get trapped and you can get that last mile, that's nice.
Yeah. So I had to like, I had to go figure out how to fill it up at like a $400 a gallon gas station in California. So I was like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. Anyway,
I had no idea. Today I learned that those are quasi hybrids. I thought they were 100% electric.
I think they usually are. I think it was like a certain ones where people were scared of full electric. You could get like the tiny little, probably it's probably just like a, you know, one of those ripcord like generators that you would run in your garage.
Right. Like, yeah. You actually had to get out and pull like an old, like, yeah, like an old lawnmower.
Yeah.
I had a mini bike as a kid that it kind of looked like a little motorcycle, and but you had to pull the cord. That was the least cool thing about it. So it didn't look like a moped, didn't have like an electric start. You actually had to pull the cord to get it started. But then everything else kind of looked like a little motorcycle. So I was like, ah, worth it. Nobody sees me do this. It's fine.
Yeah.
I was like 12, so.
Yeah, I used to have a push mower that the pull thing was like wouldn't work until you pulled it like 50 times in a row.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you'd be like
foot on it and you're like, yeah,
your arm would be like falling out of the socket by the time it gets going. And then you're like, all right, I guess I got to mow now.
Yeah. Yeah. But you also, I think you had to like pull the like lever thing, right? Like,
oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't safety stop. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you had to like do that. And pull with the other arm. And
yeah.
This whole,
yeah. Yeah. Kids these days have their electric mower and they hit go on it.
Yeah, I guess. Like the kids, well,
that's what I have at the office.
Anymore. Yeah. Wait, there's lawn at the end?
Mm-hmm. Just enough for like a tiny mower. So I had the electric weed eater with like, there was this thing you could put the weed eater down in that had wheels, so it was like the tiniest mower, and it was like, it looks like you're like vacuuming the yard, you look like a fucking idiot. But I got a like actual mower because it does it in like 2 seconds,
right? Yeah, so at the end of the day it's kind of worth it.
Yeah,
cool. I'm gonna come collect that before we sell it, you know.
Yeah, you can
have the
put
mower
it on the plane with you to take it home.
Taking this mower, I'm gonna have a mower case. I'll trade you a banjo for it.
All right. Try to fit it back in the banjo case.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just leave the banjo sans case with you and try to put a lawnmower in, like wrap
something. Oh, God. All right. What shows have you been watching? Anything fun? I've been watching so many shows all the time.
Good for you that you have a life that you get to do that. So the only thing that we started watching together, my wife and I, was, so I'd watched season one of The Bear. And was like really,
I watched like two episodes of that.
Yeah, it's very intense. So
the first couple were very intense, and
it's a little crazy, the whole thing.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. I enjoyed it, but and then I told her, yeah, it's good. You should watch it with me. I don't want to. Blah, 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 whatever. Her friends tell her to watch it, and so she's interested now. And so we've been rewatching season one of The Bear. And then I either code more or I play some Zelda. I'm really trying to
build up my
Tears of the Kingdom, man. I'm really trying to like work on some of my armor and stuff so I can fight these things. I think they're called like Gleeloks or whatever. They're basically like three-headed dragons with different elemental powers. And they're really hard to beat because I haven't yet. And yeah.
Oh man, so, in the first one, I'm blanking on the name of Breath of the Wild. Those things, like the spinny laser face things with all the arms, like where if they laser you die instantly.
Yeah, those are like, all mechanical things. Yeah, those aren't in this one. But there's a lot of other stuff that's like, I'm sure they are, but I haven't fought one of those yet.
Well, I was just going to say, I think maybe I once killed one of those things.
Yeah. I think you mostly avoided those things, right? Like those were like the murder everything Skynet kind of things.
Yeah.
I played a lot of this game without encountering even one, but like, yeah, this, there also aren't like 74 Ganons. I feel like in Breath of the Wild, I fought like 40 yeah. versions of Ganon.
You need normal Ganon, Calamity Ganon, old school Ganon, Ganon-y Ganon.
Yeah, Ganon's brother-in-law, Ganon's ex-wife.
Ganon adjacent, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of Ganon. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So there's all of those. There aren't all of those. There's like the Dragon King, which I think is like supposed to be OG Ganon. Like Ganon spawned from this thing or whatever. But I've been avoiding some of the main
quest stuff. The origins of Ganon?
Yeah. I've been avoiding a bunch of the main quest stuff. So
oh, I never do the main quests.
Well,
I don't know why. I'm not a completionist. I only play the parts of the game that I enjoy. And then like, the parts that require work, or like, I'm just like, no, nah, I don't need that. Work,
but I'm not ready for it to be done. I think that's what it is. It's sort of like, yeah, I mean, everything requires work. Every like side quest, whatever, like everything has like,
well, yeah, but and I don't even have the master for whatever reason. Yet. Maybe like, it's because it's like, it feels more self-directed. It's not like you go do the main quest. Like, you know, I don't know. It feels more fun to do the side quests.
I do feel a little like Skyrim inspired. Like I just want to do so much with my character first before I do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was talking to Caitlin yesterday. I don't know. Sometime.
Hopefully every day. She's your wife.
About stopping watching so many shows and playing games again. So I'm probably going to start playing some games soon. Cause like
nice.
I'm watching shows I don't give a shit about. Cause I'm just like, I want to find something new to watch, you know? And then I watch obscure shit that like maybe is good. And actually they turn out to be good, but then there'll be like four seasons and I have to watch all four seasons.
Yeah. And, like, so then it's like, well, what the hell? Where are you going to spend your time? You know, like, right?
Yeah.
You have finite time and where are you going to spend it? Yeah. Well, basically Sarah has been watching one of those like Married at First Sight, I think is the one she's watching now. It's another one. I don't know. There's some version of the same thing 50 times over, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Not Married. Fiance.
Yeah. Married at First Sight is the one now. And it's been happening a lot in the background for me. So then I'll just do other things. I'm like, oh,
good time to code.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's like great to go down that path.
Yeah. A show that was very good that I finished recently was Bodies. Have you seen Bodies?
I haven't.
The premise is like there's a this like guy that this guy that's been shot and dies that like materializes and falls from the sky in like four different time periods.
Hmm.
So like it starts in like 1890 and then there's like a 1941. And this is not a spoiler because all this happens in like the first 10 minutes. So and that's like the same person dead falling from the sky in all these different time periods. And they're having to figure out why that's happening and like how to get it to stop happening. And it's like it's a crazy like my mind still has like questions about how it works because I'm like, you know, that's that like anything to do with space and time just like doesn't make sense to me. I'm just like. I don't, that could never
quantum
happen.
Leap wasn't for you.
Yeah. I guess you have to suspend disbelief there and just be like, you know, just enjoy the show and not care about like how it worked.
Right. Also, I think we're supposed to not like Stephen Hawking anymore, right? Or something. Wasn't that a thing on Twitter for a minute? Stephen
what
Hawking
happened?
Was on the Epstein flight. Yeah, the flight logs or something for Epstein Island. And I don't know.
How does that even work?
Well, when you fly planes, you are required to create flight logs, which include the
passenger
manifest.
No, I mean, like, how
can
Stephen Hawking be, like, a rapist?
Right? Doesn't he always have to get raped? I don't know.
Like, I think everyone implicitly had consent.
Right, right. Well, if you went to Epstein Island and there were young girls under the influence,
yeah. So I guess it's like
wealth
the,
and power.
The
and
organization
they said, go do what he
forced
wants.
Them.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So anyway, that's a tangent. But what service does that stream on? If you're going to mention,
oh, it's Netflix.
Okay. This episode is brought to you by Netflix, because Robbie's been there.
Yeah. Stay tuned for other things brought to you by Netflix, where we will be on a crossover with Front End Happy Hour sometime soon.
Right. Speaking of literally brought to you by Netflix.
Although Ryan doesn't work there anymore.
Oh, yes. Right. People quit, move on, whatever else. These things happen. Prime's never leaving. I think he's going to one day own Netflix.
Possible. He gets to do whatever he wants there.
Yeah. Because he's like, I show value in my passion projects. So
if they were just forcing him to like do feature work, I think he would leave. But when he gets to be like, I want to build this thing that does whatever because I think it's cool. And they're like,
do that. $15 million. And they're like, oh, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Why would they not continue to employ him?
Yeah. That's a position I shall never, never hold. Anywhere, maybe in this podcast,
the primogen position of primogen.
Yeah, I will never be the primogen. My mustache game is weak as fuck.
I guess two part question. Have you seen the Barbie movie?
Yes.
So, did you see somebody posted like earlier today of like Prime talking about the like text editor that's not good or whatever, and it's like. Ken being like, Sublime!
Yeah. Yeah. I saw it. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, that was good. All right. Well, we are over time here. I don't know. We talked about things. So if you liked it, please subscribe. Leave us ratings and reviews. We appreciate it. And we'll catch you next time. Also,
JimBean.com.
I was going to say.
Favorite bookers.
Yeah. Reminder, whiskey.fund. Get some swag. Mm-hmm. If you think it's too expensive, hit us up and we'll give you some promo codes.
Whoa, we're going to keep losing money.
I want people to have swag. It's fine.
Fair enough.
All right. See ya.